إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mulk, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. He said, say to them that he is Ar-Rahman, آمَنَّا بِهِ, and we have faith in him, we brought iman on him. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا, and on him we have tawakkul, and on him we place our trust. Tawakkul is the tawheed of the heart. When we enter into Islam, we say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. This is, we say it with our tongues. That iman, when it enters the heart, that is called tawakkul. Tawakkul is the tawheed of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we read the stories of the Anbiya in the Quran, one story which is common, or one theme which is common with all the Anbiya, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut them off from all the means of the world. Allah cut them off from all the means of the world. If you take the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the same thing. I'm not going into details because we don't have time in the Fajr reminder, but if you look at the stories in detail, if you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, the same issues. If you look at Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam is born, already he is born in a state of threat when they are killing all the boys. And in that state of threat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we sent wahi to Umma Musa, to the mother of Musa, that if you fear for the safety of your child, what do you do? Put him in greater danger. Put him into a box and put the box into the river. Does it make logical sense? Does it make logical sense? Already you are fearing for the safety of your child. So what should you do? Allah didn't say hide the child. Allah said put him into the river. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that box to be taken into the palace of Pharaoh. Allah didn't cause the box to be taken away somewhere and hidden. No, into the palace of Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Fir'aun to not only hold Musa alayhi salam in his hands, but he also caused, he got the advisors of Fir'aun who were advising him to kill all the boys of Bani Israel to come and recognize this boy and say, this is the one that we were searching for. This is the one. There's no mistake in identity. No mistake in identity. They recognized that this is the one. We killed all of these boys, innocent boys, for nothing. But we were searching for this one. This is the one. And does this make sense? And then what happened? What is the story? Who survived? Who won? Fir'aun or Musa? With Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Isa alayhi salam to be born without resources. He lived without resources. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, may Allah forgive the Christians for changing the religion. But those who claim to follow Isa alayhi salam, their number today is largest. The most of the people who believe in God. And then we have Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to be born without a father. His father died before he was born. His mother died in his infancy, when he was, 5 or 6 years old. He had the support of his grandfather. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that away in a couple of years. He had the support of his uncle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that away. He had the support of his wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that away. There were some people in Quraysh supporting him. Allah took that away. And what is the culmination of that life? The life of the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the culmination of that life? The culmination of that life is قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَأَمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. He is dying, he is passing away. Last moments of his life, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, he asked, is there anything in the house? And she said, Ya Rasulullah, there are some dinars, there is a few coins. He said, give it away, give it away. Sin sadaqa, give it away. Now imagine the plight of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Not only is her husband dying, who is her husband? Her husband is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is young. He's dying literally in her lap, in her arms. So naturally when he said give it away, giving away those few coins in sadaqah was not top of the mind priority for her. So she forgot. He lost consciousness, he came back and he says, what happened? Did you give that away? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give it. I haven't given it yet. He said, bring it here. She brought the coins and she said he took the coins in his hand and he looked at his hand and he showed it his hand with the coins and he said, Ya Aisha, do you want me to meet my Rabb like this with these coins in my hand? He said, do you want me to meet my Rabb with these coins in my hand? Do you think those coins in the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were haram? Do you think they were the coins of interest? Do you think he got those coins by means of some haram way? Why was he saying, do you want me to meet? Do you want the messenger of Allah to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these coins in his hands? Was he trying to get rid of haram? It is a mark of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl on his abd. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we make sincere tawbah, it is the mark of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance of this tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleans us. He does our tazkiyah. He cleans us. He cleans our hearts. He cleans our deeds. He cleans our maal. He cleans our wealth. So all the haram will go. And then those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to favor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also removes the halal. Until there is nothing between the abd and the rabb. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives directly from his treasures. Allah gives directly from his treasures. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha gave away those coins. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died without anything. Did his wife's staff? Did his daughter Fatima and her children, did they starve? Did his other wives, our mothers, did they starve? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made each of them a legend in their lifetimes. And those who learnt this lesson of tawakkul, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, the Khalifatul Muslimin, the Amirul Mu'mineen, a man who came from, he himself was a prince. He married the daughter of Malik bin Marwan, one of the most powerful of the Khulafa of the Bani Umayyah. So he was a prince, his wife was a princess. When he came to the throne, what did he say to his wife? He said, we have a choice. We rule as kings or we rule as the slaves of Allah. We try to please Allah. What do you want us to do? No force. He's asking his wife. His wife said, let us please Allah. So he said, then bring all your jewelry and we give it away in sadaqah. We give it into the Baitul Mal. Because your jewelry was given to you by your father. That is not earned money. It's tax money from the people. It's not halal. He's a great muhaddith himself. He was a great alim. He gave everything away. He ruled for 2 years. In his khilafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much barakah that people used to take zakat and walk around to see who to give it to. There was no one who was eligible to take zakat. And then when he was dying, he had nothing, personal wealth. When he was dying, his brother-in-law, his wife's brother, Al-Walid, he came. And he said, now he's also a prince because he's the son of Malik bin Marwan and he was going to be the Khalifa after Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh. So Al-Walid came and said, you have impoverished your children. Look at them, they have nothing. You are not leaving anything for your children. Permit me to give each one of them 100,000 gold dinars. He is their mamu, he is their uncle. He said, permit me to give them 100,000 gold dinars each. Because you have left nothing for them. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi said, get out of here. He said, leave. My children do not need you. He said, I have taught my children to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. When they ask, he will give. He said, they don't take from you, go. How many of us can say that you have taught your children to take from the treasures of Allah? And if you have not taught your children that, what right do you have to sit here? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your life? Why are you your children's worst enemies? Why don't you teach your children how to take from the treasures of Allah? You don't teach because you yourself don't know. You don't bother to learn. You're chasing the dunya like rats. How will you learn? It is a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that He removes. Allah does not like adulteration. Allah does not like anything mixed. By all means, work. By all means, do and make effort which is halal. I'm not saying you throw it away. No. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses you, and I make the dua for every one of you, may Allah choose you, inshallah. When Allah chooses you, be prepared to see the asbab being removed. Allah will remove the haram, He'll clean it, and if the haram is not there, Allah will also remove the halal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give, and when His treasure opens, it does not close. Then Allah will use you to give to the whole world. Allah will use you, Allah will make you His tool, Allah will make you His zariya. Ek to zariye se lena aur wo zariye ko pehchanna, ye ek level ka iman hai. Aur dusra Allah ka zariya ban jana, ye ek dusra level hai. Ye dusra level hai. The one who thinks that he is getting from the zariya, he has no iman. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one who gets from a source and knows this is not coming from here. It's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's not looking at the source as the means of giving him rizq. He looks at Allah. So this is one level of iman. But the other level of iman is to become the source. And believe me, you cannot become the source. Allah will make you the source. But to be that, we have to free our heart from the love of this dunya. We have to free our heart from the fear of this dunya. We have to free our heart from tawakkul ala al-asbab and take it to tawakkul ala Allah. That is the tawheed of the heart. That is the tawheed of the heart. To free the heart, only you know what's in your heart. Nobody in the world can know what is in your heart. Only you know that, and your Rabb knows that. So anytime you feel any fear with regard to anything, that's the reason why the people who understood who Allah is, people who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said anything which creates the fear, get rid of it. And the simplest form of it is that if you are giving sadaqah, if you are giving charity, and you put in your hand in your pocket and you take out money to give to a beggar, and you realize suddenly that you have taken out ₹100 or $100 bill instead of a $10 bill, the shaitan says, how can you give $100 to a beggar? What must you do? Give the 100. The shaitan will say, you're crazy, give another 100. You say, you're mad, he give another 100. You keep giving $100 bills until the shaitan runs away. That is the lowest form, that is the simplest and the meanest form of tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who had tawakkul, they delighted in. When there was nothing, they said, Alhamdulillah, now I wait for the nuzul of the malaika. Now I wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help to come from the ghaib. Because I know it will not come until this is cluttered with material. Remove. Clean the place. Then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And then the job of the slave is only to sing the praises of his Rabb. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to all to reach that level, inshallah. And to live our lives in such a way that Allah is pleased with us. And to live our lives knowing that we worry about a future of which we have no clue. We worry about a future, we don't even know whether that future is going to come. We worry about a future about which we have absolutely nothing to know, to be sure that this future will come. And we do not worry about a future which is haqq. A future which will come. A meeting that will take place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to this and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him and to remember always, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا فَسَتَعْلَمُنَا مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَبَّ